desde Sonora, México.
Hola, hola, bienvenidos a Radio Menea. I'm Miriam Suela Perez.
And I'm Vero Valletti Flores, and we are two Latinx friends with wildly different music tastes.
Each week we bring you music from the Latinx artists that we love, and this week we've got some new musiquita for you.
Yeah, the first one is from you. Well, why don't you tell us about it?
Yeah, this song is called El Rey de la Cumbia, and it's by A.B. Quintanilla, and Left SM, and SETI. Let's take another listen. Quintanilla is Selena's older brother, R.I.P. Selena, and so he has continued to have a music career since his sister was murdered, and it's been mostly in cumbia. So this, I think, is an example of some of the things that he's been doing. This is a recent song that just came out, and his approach to cumbia.
Wow, yeah. I don't think I realized that he was still making music. But yeah, it checks out.
He's also the creator of Cumbia All Stars and Cumbia Kings. So yeah, that's been his thing.
Oh, okay. Got it. I feel like I know those, but I just didn't know that he was involved. Cumbia is not like my genre, you know? Mm-hmm. But
yeah.
I guess I didn't really know.
So the other thing that's I just realized, looking this up, is that Lefty SM, who's on this track, actually was murdered in September. He was shot outside his home, so I'm assuming they worked on this before, because this was just released. So that's sad, is what it is. He's a pretty young artist, and yeah, murdered in Mexico. Then Zeddy is an artist, actually from Mission, Texas. This feels also connected to our conversation from last week with Veronique Medrano. We talked about Tejana music, which obviously Selena is a big part of. And I think this kind of cumbia is also part of the legacy, although it's not like considered Tejano in the same way. So it's interesting that Zeddy is also from Mission, which is in the Rio Grande Valley, in the area that that Veronique is from as well. So yeah, I was just interested to see this pop up on my feed. And yeah, I haven't followed AB's career much, but I can only imagine how, you know, difficult it has been to lose your sister in such a public way, and then to be in her sort of legacy as your own artist, yeah, and continue to make music, and just the grief of going through that in such a public fashion. And then now this other murder. I don't know how close he was to Lefty SM, but that's another sad situation.
Yeah. Guns are awful, man.
I know. Murder, violence. And then the other thing this made me think of was a conversation you and I have been having like offline about the new Beyonce album that finally dropped on Thursday night, the Cowboy Carter album and the, you know, country album. And then you were saying that you were really hoping that there would be like a Selena sort of like nod, reference, tribute cover, and it does not seem like that happened. Yeah,
I was hoping so, because she was doing like her thing with Cowboy Carter is really to show the ways that like country is a black genre. And mm-hmm. I do also know that like Tejano really has influenced country, and country has influenced Tejano, and they sort of like came up like you know, in the context of border radio also together. And we spoke a little bit about this on our last episode about Tejano with Veronique Medrano. If y'all haven't listened to it, y'all should definitely go. I wouldn't say it's an oversight. It's just more like I was hoping that she would include sort of like a black and brown country legacies situation. But you know, her assignment is around like elevating like the black roots of country. And I think she's done that. But so I was just like hoping that maybe there would be like some like, and also just because like she's so Texas and Selena is like so Texas, and she's, you know, in the past like talked about Selena, obviously. Like there's nobody in Texas who was untouched really of our generation. So that's, I was kind of hoping for that, but didn't make it. Did you listen to the album?
I listened to parts of it. I haven't gotten fully through it. I listened to like the Jolene cover a lot of people have been talking about. And I feel like it's a missed opportunity to make that connection, you know, to Selena and to Tejano music. So I'm disappointed by that. But I agree with you that like her project can be her project, you know, and she can focus on the roots of country in the way that she wants to. But yeah, I haven't listened to it fully. Do you have bigger thoughts about it? I know you had thoughts about Jolene, but.
Yes, I did hate Jolene. I did hate the cover, not because I feel like her voice, like it's a really difficult song to sing, and Beyonce easily did that. Like that's not what I mean. It's but she changed the song about to like be about like, I don't know, like she changed it to be about like, don't get near my man, Jolene, like, and I think that to me, the thing that makes Jolene such a like a amazing, incredible song is how vulnerable it is. It's just like the song is about like debasing yourself by begging an ethereal beauty who could very easily steal your man to please not do so. Like, I feel like it's just, like it's so cutting because of how devastating that ask is, you know, you're just like, listen, Jolene, I know that you could take my man very easily, but like you could have anybody you want. Please, my life would be over if you did this. Can you? I'm begging of you. Mm-hmm. And that's not what this cover is about. This cover is like, stay away from my man. It's like, I feel like this is more in the vein of like, I would say like a Loretta Lynn Fist City. Like, if you don't want to go to Fist City, you better detour around my town is a line from that song. Because, and she's talking about like, you know, like, I'm gonna beat you up if you try and take my man. Like, you are trash and he's not gonna, he doesn't want anything with you, so stay away. Which is basically what she tried to do with Jolene. But I'm just like, that's just not the spirit of that song. I feel like the song is so powerful because of the lyrics, because of how like devastating and vulnerable they are. And to have changed that to me, it was like a little, I don't know, not my favorite, but I did like a lot of the songs on the album. I loved the one with Miley Cyrus because I mean, this is what she was born to do. She's like from the legacy of Achy Breaky Hearts. Like she's not supposed to be doing any other bullshit. Like,
makes a lot more sense now that I understand the connection to Dolly Parton, you know, that that's her godmother, and so it makes sense to have the two of them.
And Billy Ray Cyrus is her dad.
Right, also yes, that too. Yes, that too.
But yeah, so I really liked that song. I really liked Daughter, that has like a little like opera aria in there, that's fun. I really really love the ones Sweet Honey Bucket, I think is what it's called. There's several songs that include this artist called Shabuzi, who does like mixes country and hip hop. Sweet Honey Bucket, I think that one, I think was also produced by Pharrell, which is like, you know, he's legendary to me. So there's lots of great songs on it, but I did not like the Jolene cover, but it doesn't mean that it's not, doesn't have a lot of great shit on it. Mm-hmm. It's 27 songs. It's a lot.
I know. I saw that and I was like, damn.
I mean, a couple of them, a few of them, at least like three are just like little intros, like the ones like the Jolene one. Intros or interludes or things like that. But I'm just like, okay.
Yeah.
It's too many songs. I think it's a new streaming model. All the artists are doing like a bazillion songs on all their albums.
There's not like a cost the way there used to be to like the, You know, you have to have a double CD. You know, there's no physical limitation. Obviously, there's cost of producing the song, but there's no boundary that creates a limitation to how long the album can be. So
yeah.
Yeah. They're like, hey, more things for streaming. I was at a really interesting thrift store, or like kind of consignment, sort of felt like a swap meet meets like a consignment store in West Virginia this weekend. And I saw for the first time ever in person, eight tracks. Mm. I don't know if it's an A or eight, the number yeah. eight. Yeah. And yeah, I was like, oh my God, look at I'd seen them in like movies, but I'd never actually like touched one. I was like, this is a fascinating relic of the past. Yeah. Well, thanks for sharing your thoughts. All right. So what's up first for you for new music today?
My first song is just like a fun one. I listened to it and I was like, okay, I can get into this. It's just for funsies. This is called Bellaca, spelled B-Y-A-K, by Álvaro Díaz and Rauw Alejandro.
¿Por qué mientes? Si cuando conectamos se siente diferente. He tratado de entenderte, pero a ti ¿quién te entiende? Siempre vuelves cuando estás caliente. No puedes negar que yo sé cómo ponerte.
En cuatro. Chata, que pe pa' arreglarme quieres dejar sin data. Con fotos de tu nalga y carita de enrata, mami. Qué rica está, ¿por qué me lo envías pa' verlo una vez nada más? Si me tienes lleno de suciedad y el WhatsApp, quiero averiguar por qué me hice todo obsesionado. Vámonos pa' allá atrás. Y mientras se lo estoy dando, me dice papi, ahora entiendo. Llevaba tiempo imaginando tu cara cuando te estás viniendo. Bailar contigo es un infierno y chingarte quiero que sea eterno.
You're a big Rauw Alejandro fan, yeah?
I want to say I'm a big Rauw Alejandro fan, but I like him.
I thought you had like a moment where you're really into him, but maybe I'm misremembering.
No, I liked... There's an album of his that I really liked. I like Versus. I like the album a lot, and I liked like a few of his songs on there. But it's not like I follow him to see what he's been releasing because I'm a big fan, you know.
Right.
But yeah, I like him. I think he's good. His stuff is good. And Álvaro Díaz, I also really like. Both are Puerto Rican. And this is actually for Álvaro Díaz's new album. That's coming out this May, called Sayonara. And I don't know, for me, it's just like giving like summer fun. I really liked it. It's just like very fun, very simple. Like it's not like doing anything extraordinary, you know, like the most extraordinary thing it's doing is its unusual spelling of Bellaca. But I'm into it. Sometimes we need like an easy club track.
We are approaching your season.
Oh no, I know. It's giving summer fun. That's what I feel like I'm ready for. Like today when I listened to this, I was like, it was like the first time that I listened to this. This is about when it happens. Like in the spring, I'm like, summer's coming. Mm-hmm. And summer songs are coming. And so this is the beginning of it for me.
Love that for you.
I cannot wait. It's dark and rainy right now because, you know, April showers bring May flowers or whatever, but mm-hmm. I'm ready for the sunshine.
Mm-hmm. But you're getting some of the blooms happening, yeah? Some of the flowers.
Yeah, yeah, there's definitely some blooms. The magnolias are all out. A few weeks ago when the crocuses are some of the first things that I ever see out. Like I think snowdrops technically come out beforehand, but I don't see a lot of those in Brooklyn. But crocuses I see, and I saw those like early March, and I was very excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
And then shortly after came the daffodils, and now the magnolias are fully out. Yesterday, I went to visit my favorite neighborhood magnolia trees that I visit every spring because they're so beautiful.
That's what I saw, so I knew that it was happening. Yeah, everything's in bloom here. The cherry blossoms have already gone through their peak. And
already. Okay.
Yeah, it was an
the
early.
The cherry blossoms are out here are not at. They're not really quite out yet. They're not at peak, so that's coming soon.
Yeah, it was an early peak. Not the earliest we've had, but it was an early peak, which is not surprising because our winter was pretty mild.
It's
a big deal in DC. There's a whole cherry blossom festival, and people go down to like the Tidal Basin. I've actually never been down there during peak cherry blossoms, but there's cherry blossoms everywhere is the truth. They're all over the city. So my favorites are actually surrounding a parking lot next to Catholic University. So
nice.
I go hang out in my little parking lot. So I did that.
I have my favorite neighborhood trees that I visit.
Yeah. I love that. Well, I'm happy. I mean, I like summer too. I don't have the same relationship to it you do, but I'm happy that it's approaching. I mean, it's April somehow.
I know. Do you have any eclipse looking at plans this weekend?
No, I know you're going somewhere. I did not feel compelled to try and travel. But my girlfriend is definitely like, she bought some glasses or whatever, you know? And so
okay,
I think
Like, you can like, you won't be like in the path of like, you know, total darkness in the middle of the day or whatever, but like you'll still see something.
Yeah. I can't even honestly remember where I was last time it happened, if I even went outside. So I am planning on like, you know, trying to like look up or something, but you are going to Vermont or something, right?
I am going to Vermont.
That's exciting.
I feel very excited about this sort of stuff. I remember being a kid in Venezuela when there was like a big eclipse that like traveled through there, and it was like, it was so fun. And it was like, I remember my mom like had us look at it through an x-ray, which in retrospect I don't know if it's actually safe, but that's what we
through,
did like a physical x-ray.
Yeah, that sounds like a old wives' tale or something about what keeps you safe.
I'm sure it's not actually safe, but that's what, you know, that was the protocol back then and that's what we did. So I'm excited. I'm excited to look at it. I'm excited to like be in like the darkness in the middle of the day. Like, I don't think that we were in like the total like eclipse path of totality when I was a kid. And I think it's going to be my first time ever. I'm excited about it just because I think it's so fun. Like, I always think about like what it must be to have like no knowledge of the astros and have this happen to you. Like, you know, right. I don't know, like some kind of society thousands of years ago that like didn't have knowledge of the astros. Many societies thousands of years ago did. So, but I imagine that like there were probably many people in centuries past that like did not know what was happening. And then suddenly like this happened to the sun. And I feel like it would be so scary.
I think that's probably like why they believe in God, you know? It's like,
yeah, exactly.
How do you interpret that? Without, you know, but yeah, I do think there's probably actually a more sophisticated understanding of like the cosmos and ancient societies than we even know, you know, like we do know some.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Many societies had really like very well developed and like elegant understandings of the cosmos. So I don't think that's true for everybody, but right. I think that there probably has been times when there were a significant amount of people on Earth that did not know what was going on.
Well, I'm really curious to hear your report back and like your experience of eclipse tourism and going somewhere.
Oh my God. There's definitely some eclipse capitalism happening. It was like very expensive to like book like a tiny little like in the cut Airbnb. I'm like, okay, y'all, calm down.
Yeah. And if it's cloudy, does that impact what you see?
It does impact it. So we're going to have to be like looking at the weather and try to find a place that like isn't cloudy, be willing to like travel a little bit, but we'll see.
Right, you might end up you and a million people. Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to hearing the report back. It's Monday, right? Monday evening.
It's on Monday. Yeah,
Monday afternoon. Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Well, speaking of God, little transition
speaking
here.
Speaking of God.
Let's take a listen to our latest reggaetonero to be lost to Jesus. R.I.P. D.E.P. This is Daddy Yankee's latest that he purposely released on Easter weekend. I think actually on Good Friday, called Donante de Sangre.
Yo fui sanado con su sangre, libre camino por su sangre. Soy diferente a lo que era antes, gracias a la gracia de mi padre. Yo fui sanado por su sangre, libre camino por su sangre. Soy diferente a lo que era antes, gracias a la gracia de mi padre. No hay que temer, él me cuida con su poder. Sale por mis labios. De los bis me levantaron pa' avergonzar a los sabios. El camello pasó la aguja, rico pudo dar un cambio. De muerte pasé a la vida por la sangre del Calvario. ¿Y dónde están los que decían que no me iba a salvar? Los que decían que vendí mi alma y casa tan por fama y dinero. Eso dijeron fariseos modernos.
¡Soy hipócrita!
Ustedes van a arder en el infierno. No uso zapatos más grandes de los que calzo. El ego es caminar por el fuego descalzo. Hay gente que son tan falsos. Y lo más falso es que no reconoce que son unos falsos. La voz de Juan se levantó en el desierto, la mía en este último avivamiento, anunciando a Cristo y su evangelio. ¿Quién va a pararme que pueda con sus manos atrapar el viento?
Oh my God, this is so bad.
Yeah, tell me what you think. You think it's bad?
Oh my God, not only do I think it's bad, I think it's also so corny. I feel like you, like, I don't know. I have a really hard time with, like, proselytizing music, which is different to me than like church music, right? Or like music that you make like in your like process of like as part of your spiritual practice, I guess, or like as like, you know, that you do like when you're at church, that is part of like you experiencing mm-hmm. God. But mm-hmm. like this is like feels more like Christian rock, or like, you know, like, you know, like music that's meant to like proselytize or like spread a message,
yeah,
rather than about like how you experience God with other believers. And I find that to be like fundamentally pretty corny. So I, you know, already the premise is rough for me, but like particularly when we're talking about like, you know, Daddy Yankee's like historical genre, I'm like, this is not what this is for, my dude. Like, this is for bellaqueo, this is for other things, like leave it alone.
Yeah, it's interesting also because I feel like the sound was pretty different if you listen to enough of it, but it had a different sound than
it wasn't
like
a thong. It was like rap. Some like it was on some autotune weird shit,
yeah.
But like,
yeah,
it also sounded bad, but yeah. You know, he's also trying to do like a rap situation,
right? Yeah. I'm really curious. I think I've said this before, but I'm super curious to learn about the pastor or whoever it is that's like behind the scenes, like converting reggaetoneros to like evangelicalism. Like, there's gotta be something behind this. It's not a coincidence, you know. I mean, obviously there's a huge infrastructure of the Christian religion, and like evangelicalism is very big in Latin America, and there's been a lot of like growth for different evangelical traditions in Latin America, but I just feel like this is such a niche and there's been so many of them that like I really wonder if there's like one dude, you know, who's like in everybody's ear. And so somebody,
yeah, maybe. I figured it was just like part of like the larger trend of like of evangelical Christianity, like just taking over Latin America. It's really like they've really been doing a lot of work over the past 20 to 30 years to expand the scope of the evangelical ministry mm-hmm. in Latin America. And I figure this is just part of it, but maybe there is like one guy who has like a particular like música urbana niche.
Yeah, I just feel like these guys are so wealthy and so in a particular world that it just doesn't seem like they would. I mean, obviously, this is coming from me from like a not religious sort of skepticism of it. You know, obviously, someone who's religious would be like, God just spoke to them and this is just what happens, you know. But
maybe it's Hector El Father convincing all his friends.
That's what I'm saying. Like, maybe it's an original reggaetonetto we lost to Jesus, but yeah, we got to add Daddy Yankee to the list. And I just feel so, I feel sad about it. I feel like, can't you be a man of God, but also still sing about Montaten and Pony? You know, like, why do those things have to be?
Not the God that they're worshiping.
I know.
No, the God that they're worshiping thinks that sex is nasty and dirty and that we are going to hell. So,
well, it's not the God that they're worshiping, but it's the, yeah, yeah, it's the ideology. Or the ideology.
Version of God that they think they're worshiping, whatever, yeah.
It's the ideology. So, yeah, I feel sad about it because I think he's a really talented artist. And, yeah, like, this isn't – I could even tolerate, like, okay, you want to sing about religion, but this isn't even a good song. And then, yeah, the fact that he's, like – I mean, he posted on Instagram when he put this out, and he was, like, you know, like, so glad that he finally gets to bring this message to the masses and, like, about the most important day of in humanity, which is, you know, the day that Jesus supposedly was resurrected. And, yeah – I really liked Pony, you know, that was only a couple of years ago. So I feel sad about losing the musical potential that he might have brought now that he's going to be focused on this instead, which, like, you know, you do you, but bummer, you know, bummer.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm fine with Daddy Yankee being done. He gave us a good run. I'm okay with it. You know, like, he can retire. There's so many young people doing good things. Like, he was definitely doing, like, you know, giving us a hit every once in a while still. But, like, yeah, it's okay with me. Okay with me.
I just like some of his, I mean, just,
you know.
Pony's one of my favorite songs. And also, you know, he's had a couple of really good hits in the last few years that were, so I feel sad. But I hear you. There's a lot of people to keep the mantle. And, like, I don't think that, you know, this is the end of reggaeton. It's just another one bites the dust, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
And yeah, the blood thing is, like, creepy. Like, the obsession with blood is a little bit, I mean, it's very Catholic. Although I think he's giving
Catholics
more evangelical
love,
vibes.
Love the blood of Jesus.
Right. And then
it's very goth to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Transubstantiation. It's very witchy too. Yeah. And that is obviously some of what the Protestants, like, rebelled against, was a lot of that stuff. And so Protestantism.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I don't know if you study the Reformation at all, but yeah, like, they were really against.
I did not know that the witchiness is part of, like, getting people to take up Catholicism because everybody else was a pagan and they needed to, like, make it mold with the thing that they had already. That's why Easter's in the spring.
Oh.
It's like you have to, like, make things line up. What?
Everyone wasn't a pagan because then there were also Jews.
No, but in Europe, people were pagans and that's where it started to spread.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Yeah, I was wondering about that with the whole Easter. I know that eggs and stuff is very pagan and the tree and stuff. Okay.
Yes,
so paganism
all of
was
it
pagan
is
Easter.
Very pagan. It's like paganism it's how they Europe. Got people to take up their thing by, like, you know, they just, like, subsumed it rather than be like, don't do this. Like, they're like, okay, like, we're also this, you know, like,
yeah,
they made,
yeah, there's
like
a word for that. Yeah.
Easter as part of the spring equinox, Christmas as part of the winter equinox. Like, it's all, like, it's not a coincidence that these things are when they are.
Yeah. I also don't think that they're
pagan beliefs.
Right. They're necessarily, like, actually the day that he was born or died or risen, you know, all those things. Yeah, for some reason, the history of Martin Luther and, like, the rise of Protestantism is really stuck in my brain from, like, AP European history in high school. And I think it's really interesting. And, yeah, they were rebelling against a lot of the drinking and partying of the Catholic Church. So, like, a lot of Protestants don't, you know, don't allow alcohol or, like, anti-drinking because that was, you know,
dance.
Difficult. Some of them don't dance. They're against idol worship. So all of the sort of, like, excess of the Catholic Church, all of the photos of Mary and the virgins and all that stuff is gone in Protestantism. It's very bare. It's very simple. So yeah, there's a lot of that. It's really interesting. So I guess also growing up in the Bible Belt, but coming from like a family that was Catholic, part Catholic, is interesting contrast, you know, to see that as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, I brought this more because I wanted to talk about it, not because I like it. So we'll see what he continues to make, if any of it is interesting to us. But we'll drop a link to our other Lost to Jesus episode if people are interested in the rest of the reggaetoneros who have similarly gone down this path. He's joining a large legacy at this point.
All right. The next song that I have is from Empress Of, who we brought recently. She has a new album out. So let's take a listen to Lorelei.
I want to be sweet, but there's too many scars. I want to love you free, but I can't see the stars. All I taste is bitter. You kiss my lips. I know you've been with her, 'cause your mouth's still red. What's her name? What's her name?
All the girls.
Does she know how much she made me cry?
This is the new from the new Empress Of album. It's called For Your Consideration. It just came out. The thing that I love this song. I feel like I like Empress Of. I've been really enjoying just seeing the ways that like her music has like shifted and grown and still like remained an essence of herself for the past few years. But the thing that really shook me the most about this song is that I feel like I have been pronouncing her name incorrectly like the entire time I've known about her.
How are you pronouncing it?
Lorelei? I've never heard Lorelei in my life. Like, that's never, I've never heard that name before.
Lorelei. Because I, you know, Lorelei from Gilmore Girls, that's how I know that name. And I know that's not a reference that it's helpful to you, but I feel like if you had said Lorelei, I would have been like, what? But maybe not.
No, that is what I have been saying. I've never heard the name Lorelei in my life. I do not watch Gilmore Girls, and I have never heard it. So I was like, oh, wow, I've been pronouncing this wrong. But so that's helpful. And yeah, this is a song apparently about being a woman who is la otra. Which is fun, a fun perspective, I think.
Being la otra instead of, it's usually like the target person who is the.
Yeah,
the woman,
like
who's,
let's
being
say,
scorned.
Like, Jolene is singing the song. Mm-hmm. You know?
Mm-hmm. That is interesting.
If we're using that as a reference. But yeah, I think it's just like an interesting perspective.
Have you gotten a chance to listen to the rest of the album?
I've listened to a little bit of it, but not the whole thing. So I am planning to put it on my rotation this week and see how it is. But I'm excited about it.
Yeah, I mean, the song you brought to the La Quemanda episode was stellar. So I have high expectations. High hopes, yes, for this album.
Yes.
All right. My next song is a very classic. He's not even that old, but I feel like I think of him as a classic Mexican singer. This is Pepe Aguilar and his new song, Corazón a Mediodía.
Tengo bien poquitas cosas desde que se fue, porque todo era de ella, todo hasta mi piel. Se llevó hasta mi calma, y de paso se llevó mis ganas de vivir. No sabes cuánto me pesa no poder dormir. Es que cuánto yo le amaba, y ya que estoy igual o peor. Traigo el corazón a medio día de partirse. Solo su recuerdo y lo sigue.
ballad time.
Yeah. I feel like I'm into Mexican ballads right now. I think of him as like more of an elder than he is. He's actually in his 50s, but for some reason in my mind, I think because his kids are also making music, so it makes me like put him in an older generation than he is. But he's been making music for a long time. I didn't realize until I did this episode, he's actually born in the U.S., but only because his parents were on tour. His parents are also musicians, so he was born in Texas, but he was raised.
Interesting.
Yeah, he was raised in Zacatecas, so he's definitely from a musical family, and now his two of his four children have continued the legacy. I think we brought Angela Aguilar before. I brought her to this show before. But yeah, I'm just a fan, so I was happy to see some new music by him, and I feel like Mexican ballads, even though they have a different flavor than the ballads I grew up with, they have like that. They call back that same sort of like nostalgic sentiment, which I enjoy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely a vibe. I also think of Pepe Aguilar as like a little bit older than this. I don't know why. I feel like he's just like always existed, but part of that might be like my lack of familiarity with Mexican music in general. I'm just like, oh yeah, Pepe Aguilar, he's been here forever. Like, I feel like he's 80, but he's definitely right. Not 80.
No. Yeah. He was born in 68. So yeah, he's not that old. He's 55. And yeah, he was born in San Antonio, but only because they were on tour. It's actually similar. My grandmother was born in Newport News, Virginia, but it's because her father was a diplomat. So he was here doing diplomatic work from Cuba. So she was actually born in the U.S., but to fancy Cuban parents. I know. All right, what's next for you?
My next song is another artist who has like a new-ish album out, at least since the last time we made a new music episode. This is Right Now, and this song is called Pero. Didn't really watch it, but I'm gonna have to. I just listened to the song. I mean, it's a very sexy song.
Well, the video is very sexy. We can talk about it, but tell us what you like about this song.
I really like Right Now. This is from her new album Capicu. It came out at the end of February. I was sort of deciding between this and a single that she came out with Tiny called Roadhead. That's like, you know, it was also a little bit more of like a fun summery vibe. So I decided to do this one that's like a little bit more of like an alternative sound for her. And she's like, she does that like interesting, like she will do like a sort of more alternative thing. She'll do like just like a more regular like funsies reggaeton. But I liked this one, and I liked it, like, especially the combination of the sound with, like, the lyrics being, like, let's, you know, like, we don't know each other, let's have sex, pero, like, I don't want to see you calling me later, mm-hmm. FYI, you know, like, I feel
you
like
that
is, like, well, I feel that like
trope.
That is, like, the, like, the fodder for a reggaeton song. You know, like, that would not be abnormal in that sort of a song. And I feel like the fact that she did that with, like, this sort of song, I think is very fun. But yeah, I like Raina. I'm enjoying her rise. I feel like I've had my eye on her for a minute. I first like came across her because a friend of mine from Puerto Rico that I do some activism work like put me on, and yeah, so it's been fun to watch her. I think she's this album of hers is like probably the biggest thing that she's done. So it's been good.
Well, cute. This song is an interesting accompaniment to the Daddy Yankee song because it definitely like has a Garden of Eden reference the beginning. She's like grabbing an apple off the floor of like a gardenscape. And then there's like this beautiful sort of like smorgasbord array of like fruits and food. And then she's like part of that array. It's very much like, you know,
eat
and be eaten. And then she's wearing like those like citrus things like that, that looks like a, it's like two discs and you put it in the middle or two like bowls and you put it in the middle and it squeezes it. I'm not describing it very well.
Oh, a citrus juicer?
Yeah, a juicer, but like the manual one, like where you just like hand hold it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She's wearing one on each breast. It's like a bra top. Yeah.
Fun.
She's clearly meant to be eaten as well as eating. And then there's some really sexy things happening with a maracuya. Like there's just a lot going on, so...
All right.
I recommend the video.
Sexy
fruit. I recommend the video. I feel like it's a good palate cleanser after the He Is Risen anthem from Daddy Yankee. So thank you for that, Beto.
All right, y'all. Thank you so much for listening.
All the information about the songs is in our show notes at rathermania.com. A thank you to everybody who donated and joined for our birthday month. It is officially over, and we really appreciate you for all your support.
Yeah, thank you so much. Y'all are the sweetest. You make us feel good. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Samaita, for all your editing help. And make sure to follow us on our various social media platforms, mostly Instagram these days. Mm-hmm. But we do have a cute little newsletter where we're sending you the things that we're reading, the things that we're into. So check that out.
Hasta la próxima.